It's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. The Jayhawks with a big win over TCU. It's about time the Jayhawks catch a break on the football field. It seems like so many things go against them over the years. The old famous or infamous for TCU fans butt fumble, and Kansas hangs on and wins by the hair on their chinny chin chin. What a big win for KU.
A huge win. I mean, my goodness, for Kansas to get this W, it gives you hope that you can possibly finish now where you and I determined back in August would be a great goal for the season, having 4 or 5 wins. And I said at the time my prediction was 4 for this club, and there were times mid-season when that probably wasn't looking too likely, when you have to make a change at offensive coordinator, you've lost to a Division II opponent or a FCS opponent in week one. This is not necessarily the path to being on the brink of 4 wins that we would have forecast, but here they are. And for these 25 seniors, so happy for them that they were able to come up with a win in a game where they truly played their most complementary football of the entire season. Offense, defense, and special teams all working together, all able to say that they played a huge role in this one. And like I said, it gives you hope heading into the final third of your schedule here, where your first two games are somewhat in your wheelhouse. I think Iowa State has clearly moved into a different tier than where maybe some would have had them to start the year when they opened 0-2, but it's still a game that's at home, and hopefully you'll have a good crowd after what Kansas put on display last week that only 15,000 people saw. Hopefully more folks come out this week realizing that, hey, man, you know, we've got a chance over the next couple of weeks. But after that, K-State on the road, always tough over there. Obviously for Kansas, it's tough anywhere on the road, over 10 years of a streak without winning a conference game on the road. But that's a team that struggled and has the same conference record as KU right now. And so for these seniors, it's on them now to make sure that last Saturday versus TCU isn't the high water mark. That isn't, you know, the finishing final happy moment of the season, and then we lose out. They take that as a springboard, an opportunity to catapult them even closer to what some of their goals were at the start of the year. And you know what? I'm not saying if they were to get the 5 wins, they'd get in a bowl game, but obviously in recent years, if not all those bowl slots get filled by bowl-eligible teams, you know, they start to look at the 5s and 7s. And again, we're putting the cart before the horse to even have those types of conversations, but I reference it as a mere possibility only to say that a lot of folks, I think, gave up a couple of weeks ago, and I get it. You know, things were bad. 4-game losing skid. You fire your OC mid-season. First week without the OC, it didn't look any better offensively, and folks started to worry and wonder. But here's a team now that still has a lot of opportunity in front of it. Showed last week that they can put it all together in all three phases, and if they can somehow replicate that this week and next, I think we look back on this season and say, wow, that was a season of great progress. That's where the corner started to turn. And, you know, I think that that's clearly a credit to these seniors. I hate it that, you know, it took this long for Joe Dineen and Daniel Wise, been here 5 years, to start to taste a little more regular success. But the fact that they've won as many games in this one season right now than they did the previous 3 years combined shows that the arrow is indeed pointed upward. Maybe not as high upward as we would have hoped at this juncture, but it's climbing, and that's certainly something to be proud of.
No, I agree with you as well. So let's look ahead, Brian. I mean, you look at the games that are on the schedule for the Jayhawks, and Iowa State's playing some good football. That's the next opponent coming up this weekend, 11 a.m. in Lawrence, but it is at home. Kansas State is really struggling and has all kinds of issues after getting blown out by Oklahoma. Yes, the last two games look tough at Oklahoma, but Texas would be at home right after Thanksgiving. You were talking 4 wins before the year. They're at 3. You get the Iowa State game. You certainly know you can probably get the K-State game. Not say probably, but you can. And if you win 5 games, that's definitely a step in the right direction.
That'd be huge. If you won 5 games, I mean, that exceeds all preseason expectations. And you got to feel like, okay, this corner is being turned. Sad thing is you're going to lose a ton off this team with Joe Dineen and Daniel Wise graduating, and yet I think that would help a recruiting class right now. And, you know, I can't talk recruiting specifics since I work for KU, but it's no secret they've got some work to do. And, you know, if you could show them, hey, this wasn't just a two-week wonder back in September when we beat Central Michigan and Rutgers in back-to-back weeks and for a brief time led the nation in turnover margin, you could say, hey, man, the takeaways were prevalent all season long. We were amongst the nation's leaders in turnovers forced, turnover margin, all that. We backed it up with multiple wins in league play. Clearly, it's happening at Kansas. And by the time you sign on the dotted line, we're going to have that new indoor football facility built, a multi-million dollar project just to the west of David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium. And suddenly you got something to sell, not just the dream of winning and becoming more competitive, but something tangible. Now, obviously, if you don't win any of the remaining games and you finish at 3-9, it's still a step forward, but not what we thought this year could have been. And so that's why I say it's on these seniors now to make sure that, as good as that felt with the student section pouring on the midfield and they wanted to take down the goalposts and we wouldn't let them, but as good as that felt to have your student body rallying around you and hoisting some of our guys in the air and all that, let's make sure that's not the defining moment. Let's make sure that's not the final great memory of 2018. Let's use it as a springboard to get one of these next two, and wow, dare to dream, you possibly get both. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just imagine the Friday after Thanksgiving, if Kansas was somehow a 5-win team at that point with a chance to go for Texas and go for bowl eligibility. How crazy would that be? But obviously, like I said, you got to take it one week at a time. And I, for one, think that this Iowa State home game is amongst the toughest on our schedule. You wouldn't have said that back in August. You wouldn't have said it 2 weeks into September. But you look at what they've done of late with three straight wins in the month of October, two over-ranked teams, including number 6 West Virginia, and Tech has been ranked this year. So really, even though Tech wasn't ranked at the time of the game, it's three wins over clubs that have been ranked this year. Kudos to Matt Campbell, man. I continue to be impressed with this guy. He's our age, Wade. He's 38 years old, and he's not doing it with smoke and mirrors. He's doing it with great coaching, and now he's recruiting well. Just got a great quarterback in Brock Purdy that many SEC programs were kicking the tires on. And, you know, Hakeem Butler, receiver, he's going to play in the league. He's 6'6 and a beast. They've got David Montgomery at running back. I mean, there's a lot of personnel that can play for just about anybody. So the change that's gone on at Iowa State very quickly is what we hope is happening before our eyes at Kansas. It won't be as meteoric a rise because Campbell didn't inherit the scholarship differential and hole that David Beatty did. But what they've been able to accomplish very quickly is what we hope we're on a longer, slightly slower path toward, and I want to get there eventually, because this, to me, is a program that, so long as Campbell is there, they'll compete to be in the top 6 of the league every year in the Big 12. Not top 5, top 6. But what does that tell you? They're no longer a lower echelon team so long as he's there. And that's credit, because outside of the Dan McCarney years, they've had a hard time sustaining it. And you would have always, you know, in the old days, lumped Iowa State, Baylor, and Kansas kind of in that bottom three. And I don't think you can do that anymore.
No, I agree with you, and it shows that it can be done. We know KU could do it at a different time with Mark Mangino. We've seen Iowa State do it in the current realm of things. We saw Baylor have success until everything fell apart with Art Briles. It certainly can be done at the University of Kansas as well. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Let's shift gears. KU basketball team, number one team in the land. Exhibition game last week against Emporia State. Dedrick Lawson with a double-double, big night, but just probably just barely tipping the potential that he has. And you got another exhibition game tonight. Former Jayhawk head coach of Washburn coming to town, Brett Ballard. Tip at 7. You can hear that on Z96.3 Lake tonight. And then it gets going for real when the games officially count. Big matchup against Michigan State coming up Tuesday and the State Farm Champions Classic in Indianapolis. So tell me a little bit about this Jayhawk team, what you saw from the first exhibition game, and how about that big-time matchup to start the year on Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, and normally that would be like the headliner, right, the highlight of the whole thing. But we've got number 2, number 6, number 8, and number 10 in the preseason rankings on our non-conference schedule. Holy smokes. And, yeah, Kansas has a number 1 next to their name, but as Coach Self said yesterday and on Hawk Talk on Tuesday, what does that really mean, number 1 in October? Are they picking you based on where they think you'll be or what they think you are today? Because the answer, if we're talking honestly, is that I'm not sure there is a clear-cut number 1 this year in college basketball. KU certainly could be that. They have the number 1 front court, but they got two 18-year-olds starting in the backcourt that aren't now what they're going to be 2 months from now or 5 months from now when they're trying to make a run to Minneapolis. So, you know, for Kansas, they're going to come in with the glitzy, glamorous national ranking, and they're going to have a big target on their backs as they take on Tennessee and Kentucky and Michigan State and all these great teams, Villanova as well. But I'm not sure they're anywhere close to where they're wanting to be in earning that or living up to it. You don't turn it over 22 times against Emporia State and feel like you're the best team in all the land. And I don't say that to be critical. That's just being constructive, and that's coming from our coach. He loves these guys. Don't get me wrong. He's not a guy that throws a whole lot of roses around in the preseason. I can tell he really, really likes this team. But he's realistic in saying that, okay, the last 2 years we've had two 23-year-old point guards leading us. Now we've got an 18-year-old, and he's going to be good, and you're going to see flashes that remind you of Frank or Devontae. But the simple fact of the matter is we had first-team All-American point guards that were, you know, 4 or 5 years removed from high school heading into March Madness, and now you got a kid that's still getting hair on his upper lip just barely. So you know what I'm saying? It's a little bit of a drop-off in terms of experience and age and all that. And so to truly embody a number one team in the nation, it's going to take some growing up and some growing pains. Coach Self is quick to point out how Mario Chalmers had trouble getting the ball up before against Chaminade, some of these teams up there, the Maui Invitational, when he was a freshman. And it wasn't nearly as pretty as we all remember his career ultimately becoming. Those first couple of months, he took some lumps. And so for Kansas, there's going to be some of those moments. And I would tell Kansas fans, that doesn't mean they have to lose in them. You can have coaching moments, progress, in narrow victories. But as tough as this schedule is, it wouldn't surprise me if they lose a couple in the first 4 or 5 weeks because of the youth that's playing big roles on this team. But I like what we saw, obviously, out of Lawson. I like what we saw out of some of the other new faces, both transfers and freshmen. And clearly, we are blessed to cover one of the best teams in all the land. And I feel absolutely could be number one in April, not just October. It's just going to take a while to get to that point because you had two senior starters that had multiple years of starting every game last year in your backcourt. Now you got two McDonald's All-Americans who have bright, bright futures. But there's no replacement for experience and winning the wars on the floor. And that's what these guys are going to have to do. But maybe that's the benefit as well as the challenge of such a great non-conference schedule, Wade, is that'll be a refining fire that once they get through November and December, man, the Big 12 is going to look like not easy, but it's going to feel like, hey, we've seen Kentucky, we've seen Michigan State. Okay, we can handle Dean Wade. We can handle some of these guys. So I think that's where you like the schedule, if you can work your way through it and not take too many L's along the way.
Well, I've always truly believed this, that you don't get better by playing inferior competition. You get better by playing teams that are very good or as good or better than you. And you talked to a lot of coaches, and I've done it over the years. I know you have as well. They like some of these tough matchups early in the year, especially since it doesn't really impact you too much later in the year, other than it can make your team better because it gives you a good barometer on what you may need to work on instead of beating teams by 40 points. And so Coach Self has typically had a hard non-con schedule, and more often than not, it pays off down the road.
Yeah, it really does. And it pays off on Selection Sunday.
Yes.
And looking at all these factors that determine seeding and seed line, and you see number one in RPI, you see number one in SOS, which is strength of schedule and that kind of thing. So it's definitely going to be one of those schedules that I think we're more happy than not when it's all said and done. Just don't be surprised if some of these rookies that we're going to grow to love get thrown in the fire and get a little bit singed around the edges against some of these teams early. It doesn't mean you can't win the games. It just means for those guys, they're going to really have to grow up fast.
Well, I tell KU fans, don't freak out if you lose to Michigan State. Don't freak out if you lose to Villanova. Don't freak out if you lose to Kentucky. It's not about now. It's about if you see those teams again in March in the tournament and possibly in April for the Final Four up in Minneapolis. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, Brian Haney. Yesterday was National Knock Knock Joke Day. Give me your best knock knock joke.
Wow. I'm trying to think of just one. I don't have kids yet, so these aren't like flying around my household on a regular basis.
I have kids, and they don't fly around my house.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, they don't fly around.
Me, just last year, knock knock.
Who's there?
Who's there? Orange. Orange who?
Orange who? Yeah.
Orange, you glad to see me?
Okay, yeah. That's...
As if to say, aren't you glad to see me? But obviously that's kind of cheesy. Of course,
yeah.
What knock knock joke isn't cheesy?
Yeah.
That... Or Orange, you going to invite me in?
Yeah.
But yeah, something like that. What do you got for
Well,
me?
The one that's pretty famous is knock knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Still banana. Who's there?
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? See, there you go. That's an old one. There's an old one. And there's one I pulled off the web yesterday I thought was somewhat clever, but it is pretty cheesy. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
A little old lady.
A little old lady who...
Dang, all this time I had no idea you could yodel, Haney. That's awesome.
I kind of figured that one out.
Yeah, you did. You did. That one was not, you know, that one you saw coming. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been, I tell you what, this is a busy time of the year for you, man. You got basketball overlapping in the football, but it's pretty exciting compared to previous years because, one, KU's number one in basketball. They weren't last year at this time, but, of course, highly ranked. And you've got the football team winning some football games and getting a big win in the conference. So I would guess there's a lot of excitement there in Lawrence and the surrounding area and should be a lot of fun over the next week or two or weeks ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's a five-week stretch where we're burning the candle for both ends, but it's a blast. And when you have football success mixed in with some of these big-time basketball matchups, it's the best job in the world, man. So you'll never hear me complain. But there is no doubt that by the time you get done with November, you're kind of glad that you're turning the calendar to December and just focusing on one sport because it is a grind, but it's a ton of fun. And hopefully we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about these next 4 weeks.
That sounds great. Keep up the terrific work, and we'll be listening. Talk to you next Thursday, buddy.
Hey, thanks, pal. You guys have a great week. Appreciate
you too. You too. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.